Begin the current daf, Masechet Bava Metzia, daf Pei Aleph. Begin on the bottom of daf Pei Amud Beis. Begin 6 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from that previous daf. The Mishnah said that an Uman, a craftsman, who was working from home, he accepted upon himself to do a job, let's say to make a pair of shoes for somebody, or to make clothing, whatever it is, to do a certain job that he gets paid by the job. So the Mishnah said that this item that he's holding, that he's watching for the owner's thing, he has the liability as a Shomer Sachar. So the Gemara had explained, why does he have the Lacha Shomer Sachar? So either the Gemara had two approaches, either it's like Reb Meir in the second version that it's like a Seicher, just like a Seicher who, although he's not getting paid for the watching of the thing, but he gets a certain benefit, so too, that's the same thing by Uman. He gets a certain benefit where he's getting paid for the job, so therefore he has a Lacha like a Shomer Sachar. Or actually, no, it's different than a Seicher itself, where the reason is that there's a certain benefit that a Uman has, where that he can hold on to the person's item until he gets paid, which is a certain gain he has, which usually a guy has to try to get collections to collect from somebody. Here, although he's not getting paid to watch the thing, but he's getting a certain benefit by holding on to it, so that benefit of holding on to it equates him like a Shomer Sachar. So that's what the Mishnah explained, that a Uman has halacha like a Shomer Sachar. But said the Mishnah, as our Gemara quotes, "V'kulan sha'amru tul el shalcha v'havi ma'is." But when once the Uman tells the owner, says, "Look, your stuff are ready. Take your stuff, and after you pick it up, then you can pay me money." Then he has halacha like a shomer chinam. Then he gets halacha as an unpaid guardian. He has no benefit now anymore. Again, as we explained, because the primary benefit he has is that he could hold on to it, that he's saying, I'm not giving it back to you until you pay me. Here, obviously, he's not doing that anymore, because he said, hey, take it, you'll pay me when you get the money. So obviously, there's no gain for him, so he has halacha like a shomer chinam. Now, related to the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings Tznan Hasam. Gemara says, we learned in the Mishnah later on, in Perek HaShoel of Tzadeh Chesma Beis, the Mishnah says the following case. Amar loy shayil shalach. If a borrower said to the lender, do me a favor, send me that thing I wanted to borrow from you through your slave or your maidservant, send it to me. Vishalcha umesa. And the owner of the object sent it with his maidservant, and it died on the way, in a normal way, before it came to the borrower's house. Says the Mishnah Perek HaShoel, Sechayiv. So the borrower is going to be liable for the oinus, which was beyond anyone's control, that the animal just died. He's chayiv for that oinus. Now, the reason for that is because from the moment that the owner gives it over to his agent, because of the directive of what was told to him by the borrower said, send it to me. So he was doing it based on what the borrower had said. He was acceding to his request. So from that point on, once it goes to the shliach, it is the shayil's request, and therefore he becomes liable in the oinus. Now, if let's say the borrower didn't tell the lender, send it to me. Rather, the lender was sending it to him because the borrower had said, you know, do me a favor, lend me your cow. So the guy said, sure, no problem. He went on his own and sent his own agent to bring it to that person and it died in the way. Then the shayil would be exempt. The case in the hashayil was because he requested from him and therefore that request makes him liable. Says the Mishnah over there. V'chem b'shoshim achzir, the same thing goes on the way back when it's being returned to the owner. So let's say the shayil, the borrower, gives it over to an agent to return it to the owner. And the lender didn't say, send it to me with that person. It's just the borrower on his own is sending it back, and then the animal dies. Then he's going to be chayv benaitzin. Because, again, the lender didn't tell him the directive. It depends. Whoever takes the initiative is the one that's liable for the shliach. Had the lender said, do me a favor, send it back with that guy, the moment it goes to the shliach, the shayil would be exempt. But here, since he gave it back on his own, the shayil is going to be chayv benaitzin also on the way back. That's what the Mishnah says over there. In regards to that Mishnah, Omer Rafim bar Papa Omer Rav Chizdi, he says, he qualifies, Loi Shonu, we didn't learn that the borrower is going to be chayiv in the item that is returned to the lender until it reaches to the hand of the lender. Says Rav Chizdi, that was Ela Shechazir B'Tuch Yimei Lasa. That was only if he was returning it during the duration of the time that he was allowed to borrow it for. Where he had originally asked him, he says, could I borrow it up until that date? And he says, yes. Now, within that time frame, he said, okay, I have enough of this. He was returning it to him within that time. That's where the Mishnah was telling us that his loan has not expired yet until it reaches to the hand of the owner. Once the owner gets it, so fine, that has concluded the time of the borrowing. Aval, but says, Rav Chizda, la'achar yumei she'lasa, ben pater. But if, let's say, this had transpired after the time span of the loan had completed, and then, okay, I'm not allowed to use it anymore, now he's sending it back, actually, as Rashi explains, even if the animal would have died at this point in time in the house of the borrower, But if the time of that he's allowed to be borrowed had expired, then he's not a borrower anymore. And then actually, then he's going to be exempt because I'm not a shoyl anymore. I know you never got it back, but I'm done. My time of using it, I don't use it anymore. We got to find a way to get it back to you. But if it dies after this point in time, he's going to be exempt. That was the halacha of Rav from Bar Papa, the name of Rav Chisda. On that, Moshe Rav Nachman Papa. Rav Nachman Papa asked from our Mishnah. We quoted just before, Vekulin Sha'amru, that regarding all these cases that we spoke about of an Uman, although we said they have a halacha like a Shemir Sachar for the item that they're holding on to, the tailor, the mechanic, whatever is the object that they're accepted a job for, if it gets stolen or lost, is their liability. But if they said, Tula Shalcha V'Havi Mois, hey, take your thing, we're done with it, and you know, then you could pay us, then Shemir Chinam. Then he has a halacha like a Shemir Chinam. Now it sounds like from the Mishnah, the reason for that is because he revealed his intention that he doesn't desire to be any more a watchman anymore. Meaning, I don't need this thing, I'm not holding on to it anymore. And therefore, go ahead, take your thing back. I don't want to watch it anymore. That turns him into a Shemir Chinam. So because he's still watching it, albeit for free, he's not getting anything out of it. So that's what makes him a Shemir Chinam. And that asked the Gemara, as we could tense up a pay aleph and an aleph, it sounds like hagemartiv. If let's say only said to him, I finished the job, it would sound like shemir sachar, that he would still be a paid watchman. In other words, we wouldn't say that since the owner knows that, okay, the craftsman finished, and although he didn't send it and bring it, that he'd be exempt as a shemir. We don't say that. We say that he's going to be chayiv. It's only when he says, here, I don't want this anymore, take it back from me, and then you'll pay me, that's when he's exempt from being a Shemir Sachar. But if he just says, I finished, he didn't say, here, take it from me, then he would be chayv as a Shemir Sachar. So therefore, ask the Gemara, the same thing should apply to that mission over there regarding a shayl, that even though the owners know that the time has expired, because they know they only lent them for a certain amount of time, now it's already a few days after that the loan expired, and then the animal dies, but he's still a shayl. He should still be chayv and nitzin, just like over there, when it's only when he says, here, take it, and he's saying, I don't want to be a shayim anymore. That's when he's going to be potter from being the shayim that he was, let's say in that case of a shayim sachar, in our Mishnah down to a shayim chinam. But if you just say, I finished, you didn't say, I don't want to watch it anymore, then you maintain your shayim sachar status. So to over there, that Mishnah and Ashayil, it also sounds like that you're only going to be exempt if you say, here, take it back. But if it's still in the house and you just stop, then actually you should still be chayv as a shayl, which is not like the way Rav from Bar Papa had said, name of Rav Chisda, that once it expired, the time of the loan, then you're exempt as a shayl. So I think Mar says, loy, no, don't infer from the halacha of our Mishnah that if, let's say, the craftsman would say, I finished, that then he would be a Shemir Sachar, and it's only when he says, here, take it, I don't want this anymore, that's when he gets downgraded to a Shemir Chinam. No, rather the inference should be, but what you could infer from the reading of the Mishnah is, yes, only when he first tells him here, take it, and then you'll pay me, that's when he goes down to a Shemir Chinam. But but if let's say he says the other way around, he says, wait, give me money, and then take your item, so then he's revealing his intention that I'm holding on to this until you pay me. That's where Shemir Sachar, that's where he's going to maintain his title as a Shemir Sachar. But if he says, I finished, that's the same as saying, here, take your thing, I'm finished, I'm done. So then I'm not anymore Shemir Sachar, I'm down to Shemir Chinam. So to buy Shoel, once the time ends, he's down, he's not a Shoel anymore. Here, the inference that's saying only there is going to be a Shemir Chinam, sound like another case is going to be Shemir Sachar, is if he says the other way around. If he says, oh, pay me, then take your thing. Oh, then obviously he's holding on to it. He's gaining something from holding on to it as collateral, and therefore then, yeah, he's going to be like a Shemir Sachar. Now, that the Gemara asks, of a Gemara Tivmai. So wait a second. So what are you saying? That if, let's say, the Uman would have said, I finished my job, what are you saying that he's going to have a halacha as a Shemir Chinam? That as an unpaid guardian? Because as long as he didn't reveal his intention, we don't say that he's holding on to it to get paid. We say that, no, he's done with his job of getting paid, and from the fact that he just said that he's finished, he already notified, and therefore he's not anymore Shemir Sachar. Now, therefore, you want to say the same thing as regarding a Shayil, that once the time of the period that he was able to borrow it is done, and the owner knows that, because he doesn't have to notify him in that case, in contrast to what we were saying, where he has to notify him that he's done, because the owner knows he only lent it him for a certain amount of time. So you want to say that then, yeah, then you get downgraded. You don't have to be the higher shayim anymore, the shayil or the shayim sachar, once the time period ends. On that, asked the Gemara, but if that's the case, then aditani, then instead of the Mishnah telling us, Mekulan Sha'amr, that all these umnin, if they said, Tula Shalcha, take your thing, Bahavi Mois, and bring money, then they get downgraded. They don't have to be anymore Shem Esachar, they become a Shem Echinam. But Nishmein and Gemartiv, then you should have said even a bigger Chiddush. They should have said, even the case of when they just say, we finished. The Kalshka and Tula Shalcha, for sure, if they say, here, take your thing, they're essentially saying, I don't want to be your Shem Esachar anymore. Take it. Get done with this. I don't want to have this liability anymore. So if you're saying that Gemartiv is the same thing, that once he says he's finished, that also means to say that he's done and therefore he's not liable anymore for the higher level of Shmir that he had up until now. He's saying, I don't want this anymore. So if just saying Gemartiv is saying that, then why then for sure say that? And then you would for sure know, Tula Shalcha. Why does the Mishnah say that the case that you're going to be downgraded is when he tells him, here, take your thing, when you could have said a bigger Chiddush, even just Gemartiv? So the Gemara says, you're right, but Tula Shalcha Itzuchalei. It was necessary to say the case of take your thing to say that then he's not going to be a Shem Esach anymore, but rather Shem Echinam. Why? Because Sulka Dayat Chemina, I would have thought to say actually the other extreme. I would have thought to say that Shem Echinam Nami Lo Hava, that actually when the guy is an Uman and he says, here, take your thing, I'm done with it, I don't want this on my lot anymore, that actually he shouldn't even be a Shemer, even of Chinam, because he's telling him, I don't want to watch your thing, take it. I'm not watching it not for pay, not for free. Kamash Malan, that's what the Mishnah is teaching, that all he's telling him is that I'm not going to hold on to it to wait till I get paid, but I'm still going to watch it for you, and therefore he didn't totally remove himself from being a shamer. I'm watching it for you, but I don't need it as security. Take it, you'll pay when you get it. So that he's not a shamer sacher anymore. The whole shamer sacher element of the Uman is that he doesn't have to chase him for money. But he's not. He's saying, here, take it. So that downgrades him. But the Chiddush is that he still maintains at least the status of a Shem Echinim, and that not like he's not a Shemer at all, and that even if he was negligent, he said, look, I told you, you take it, it's your own loss. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. That's one version of what Rav Nachman Bar Papa had brought from the Mishnah, from our Mishnah, in regards to the teaching of Rav Bar Papa and Rav Chizdim on that Mishnah over there in Perek HaShayel. That it was a question that he'd asked him from our Mishnah. Ikadamri, those who say the opposite. That Amr of Nachman Papa, he said, Afanan Namatinina. He came to support his halacha from our Mishnah. How so? Because he said like this. V'kulat Sha'amra, Mishnah said that all umnin that they say, Tula Shalcha V'havi Mois, take your thing and then bring the money to pay me. Shem Echinim, it becomes a Shem Echinim. So this version has it that Rav Nachman had said, my love, isn't it not that Hu Adin Gemartav, that the same thing would apply, it, not just if you say, take your thing, but even if it just says, I finished. Now, then why would we say the case of take your thing? So that's like we just said before. It's just saying a chiddush that even when you say take your thing, he's still maintaining the halacha b'shem echinam. But the downgrade would be even if he just says, I finished. So seemingly that supports the halacha of Rav Bar Papa and Rav Chizda, that once the shayl is finished, he doesn't have to notify in that case because he knows how much the loan was for, so that he's also finished and that he's not a shayl anymore and he's going to be patra on the ointment if the animal dies. So seemingly that's supported from our Mishnah. Well, that says the Gemara. In this second version, lo, you know, Tula Shalcha Shani. When he says, take your thing, that's different, because that he's saying, I don't want to be a shamer anymore. That's when he gets downgraded. But when he just says, I finished, so he didn't say that he wants to be downgraded anymore, he just said, I'm done, just notifying him, then actually, possibly, he would maintain his status as a shamer sacher, and therefore that wouldn't be support for Afram, who wanted to say that actually he would be downgraded once it's known that your time period for your shamer status, for your shamer period has concluded. That was one version. And there were two versions in what this contradiction, how it was posed, regards to what was Rav Nachman coming to do. Was he coming to ask or to support? Now the Gemara says a third version. Huna mar bamereimer was kamed Ravina. It was a friend of Ravina. And Rami Masnin ad-dadi umishani. Now he posed these two Tanoic statements, these two Mishnayos on each other, and then he answered it. Tanan. So he went this way. He said, learned in our Mishnah that said, regarding all these umnin that if they say, here, take your thing, I'm done with it, take it, and then pay me, that now he's no more Shem Esach, he's a Shem Echinam. Now, he had assumed, and that was his question, that B'hu Adin L'Gemarativ, that the same thing would be, that if he said, did I finish, same thing would be, I finished, okay, I'm not a Shem, I'm done, which means to say that I'm not going to hold on to it anymore for security, you could take it, even if he didn't say take it. He just says, I'm done, that the same thing would be that he gets downgraded to Shem Echinam. Once his period of his work, of his Shemer status, which is what a woman is done, then he's done. And he's not anymore that halacha b'shem esachar. And that he asked Reminu. But that's contradicted from the Mishnah that we brought before on Tzadik Chesamid Beis in Perek HaShoel. Omaloy Shoel Shalach, if the borrower tells to the lender, send it to me with your maidservant or your slave, Vishilcho Mesa, and then he sends it and it dies on the way, Chayiv, the Shoel is going to be Chayiv because it was done on his initiative. And Mechem B'Shoshim Mechzir, the same thing applies on the way back. As long as the lender didn't tell the borrower, you send it to me, it still retains in the domain of the Shoel. And therefore, just like at the time when he borrowed it, that it's going to be in the domain of the lender until the shoyl says send it, so on the way back, it's going to be maintained in the domain of the borrower until the lender says send it back. Now, the assumption is that we're talking about over here that the time of the loan had expired, and that's why he was returning it back to the lender, which is essentially, as we mentioned before, is the same as when a shomer says, I finished. Here also, the guy knows that he's finished because he knows the time of the loan has expired, and yet still we see that although it expired already, the shoyl is going to be chayv and einzin up until it gets back to the hand of the lender. So you see that gemartiv, even if you said you finished or he knows you finished, you're still going to be chayiv. Well, that contradicts our Mishnah then, which said that gemartiv, that you're not chayiv anymore. That Umishani, that he answered that on that was with its teaching was Amar Rav and Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chizda that we had quoted before, he qualifies that Mishnah, which will then resolve the contradiction. This halacha that the Shoel is going to be chayiv by sending it back to the Mashal on Einzin is only if he's returning it during the duration of the loan. But if it's already after the time period, then actually it's going to be exempt because actually that's just like gemartiv, where once it's done, you know more of that halachi status of that shomer, you're done from that and you become downgraded and therefore he's going to be exempt, which is then the same thing as the halacha of our Mishnah. Again, if you learn, as he had, that our Mishnah is not specifically if you say, here, take it, even if you say, I'm done, that means to say he's not using it anymore as a security and therefore you get downgraded from Shem Esachar to Shem Echina. Now, Ibayilu, the following question regarding this halacha that we just mentioned. So he said that potter, that the borrower, if it's after the time period of the loan, well, that's like gemarative, he's done, so he's sending it back. If none of this happens, he's going to be exempt. So the question is it potter mishayil? Is he only exempt now from the halacha that he had up until now of a borrower? Meaning to say, if none of this happens, for that he's going to be exempt? But v'chayv kashem esachar, but he'll still be liable like the status of a shmira of a paid guardian, who if let's say gets stolen or lost, that he will still be chayiv? Maybe you say that he's not even like a paid guardian because he's not getting paid for anything. He's done. He's not even using it anymore. He's sending it back. Then maybe actually he would be potter even on Geneva and Aveda. So Amar Meima, he says, Mistabra, it's logical to say that potter mishayil. He's only exempt from the halachas of a shayil, which he was up until now, until his loan expired. That he's going to be exempt from. But v'chayiv k'shem esachar, but he will still be liable like a shem esachar on Geneva and Aved. And the reason for that is because Hoyel Venena, since he benefited from the loan, this guy lent him something that the guy was getting nothing out of it, he just let the guy borrow it. So mahana have, so therefore he's going to also benefit the guy who lent it to him, that he'll still maintain at least a somewhat high level of shmira, of a shem esachar until it reaches back to the hand of the owner, which is if it gets stolen or lost, he'll compensate him. Oinis, he's no more shoyl, that he's not going to be chayv anymore, but he'll still maintain the level of at least a shem esachar, because since he benefited, he wants to benefit him back. That's a memer. Says the Gemara, Tanikov of Seidah Memer, we have a braisa that says like a memer. The braisa says the following halacha. Halakech kelim mi beis ha'umen. If someone purchases utensils, tools from the house of a craftsman, buys something from a store, and he buys it l'shagrin l'beis chamav to send it to his father-in-law's house, meaning these are the what's called the sivlainis, the certain gifts that the chassan gives to the kala during their engagement. He goes to the store, he purchases certain things, and he says, okay, I want to buy it to send to my kala. Now, but the amrlay, but he says to the storekeeper, says, im a kablan oisin mimeni, if they like the gift that I buy for them, they're going to keep it. Then I'll pay you for the value, I'll pay you what it's worth. They don't like this set of china or whatever it is that I'm sending to them. So I'm not going to keep it because they don't want that gift. But I'll pay you according to the benefit of the pleasure that I got, meaning to say that my in-laws were so excited. Look at the gift that the chassan sends. They can be so appreciative for that benefit that I get, that they're excited, that they're not going to keep the gift, but at least that I went through that effort and I bought them such a beautiful set. So then I'll pay you that amount of benefit that I have. Then the nensu. And then what happened was that actually the gift that was being sent to his in-laws, actually a mishap happened, something beyond anyone's control, and it broke. So then, now the Braisa says as follows. It depends when it happened. Behalicha chayiv. If the break happened on the way to his in-law's house, then the chassan is going to be liable for the damages. The reason for that is because since they set a price, and moreover, it was in his possession for the purposes of purchase, because up until he goes back to the store and he says they didn't like it, it was taken on the assumption that he's going to buy it. Now, so too, the Gemara says in Baba Basa and Perek HaMechas Asvina that Shmuel says, someone purchases an object, an item from a store on the intention of checking it out, seeing how well it is, and that is, if let's say there's nothing wrong with it, he's going to keep it. If an einus happens and suddenly the item just breaks, he's chayiv, because since they set a certain amount, the assumption was that it was already in his possession as if he bought it. Bought it, so you're a loss. You still got to pay the storekeeper for what you bought. Now, that's if the mishappened on the way to the in-laws. But bechazira pater, if it was on the way back already, where the in-laws are not, they don't like the gift, and he's not going to keep it, he's going to give it back to the store, then he's exempt if an einus happens. Why? Memneishu kunais isachar. Because on the way back, he's no more like a shayel to be chayv an einus, and he's no more like a guy who bought it, because we know that he's not interested in keeping it. The in-laws don't like it, he's giving it back. Now, but although he's going to be exempt from the einus, and the Mishnah and the Brei says, why? Because he's not like a shayel anymore, he's like a nice sacher. Why is he like a nice sacher? What's this gain that he got, that he's watching the item to return to the store until he gets back? There's a benefit that he had. The benefit that he had was that since he had the benefit that they were so excited for the gift that he brought, and he was able to say, yeah, look what I bought for these people. So therefore, on the way back, going back to the owner, he's like a shayel sacher. Well, that's exactly like a meimer, where although that he's already paying him for that taibis anah that his in-laws were impressed, where that takes care of the initial taking of it, still on the way back, that although he's no more taking it, although his shmira of it, of watching it like as if he purchased it, is done, because he's not taking it anymore, still since he had that original benefit, so then he's still going to maintain a status at least of a shayel sacher on the way back, all the more so in the case of when the guy borrowed something, where the guy didn't pay him anything for the utility of it. For sure, on the way back until he gets back, since he benefited, he'll still have a halachic status out of gratitude of a shayel sacher, even though really he's not getting any benefit now on the way back. He already paid for that benefit, which that's the money he's paying him. Still, we see like a meimra that you pay like a shayel sacher on the way back. So although you patur from einzin after the time of the loan, but you're only patur from shayel of einzin, but you're still going to be chayiv in neva vedo like a shayel sacher. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha. There was a certain person that sold wine to his friend. So Amalei, so he said to him, look, the guy who bought the wine said, I'm not drinking this wine for myself. I want to be able to bring it to that place. If I'm able to sell it, then good. I'll pay you for the wine that I bought from you. But if not, I'm going to give it back to you. And I want that return policy. I'm not going to buy it then. I'm only buying it so if I go to that place that I can be able to sell it. Now, Azul Baloy is Davnis. The buyer went and he couldn't sell the wine from this guy who he bought it from in the place that he went to. Ubahadi de Ko'asa Isnes. On his trip back, a mishap happened and the wine got ruined. Now, Asli came to Rav Nachman. So this guy came from the Rav Nachman. And Chayve, he held him liable for the wine, for the Einus, and he had to pay to the guy he bought it from. Esve Rabbi Rav Nachman. Now, Rabbi asked Rav Nachman from the Braisa we just quoted before. The Braisa said clearly, if an einus happened on the way to where he's going, which is the assumption that he's going to buy it because the in-laws are going to like it, or like this case where the people are going to buy the wine from him, then he's chayav an einus. But on the way back, he's exempt. He's only like we said, a shayel sacher, but he's not like a shayel. He's not like a guy who bought it because we know he's giving it back. So why are you holding him liable for an einus? So Malay said to him, chazar dahai, this story, his trip back, halichihi, is like the trip going there. My time, what's the reason? He says, it's logical. Bechazi rasai, this guy on his way back, ilu ashkech lezvune, if he would find someone who would want to buy it, milo zavna, wouldn't he sell it to him? Of course he would. So his trip there and trip back is really the same thing. Any guy he'll find to buy it, up until he gets to the guy who he bought from, will buy from him, he'll sell it to the guy, and then he'll have paid the guy. So that's the same thing as like the trip to the in-laws. You still might get someone who's going to like it. Therefore, the assumption is that it's in your possession as a purchased item, which is like the halachas of a shah that you're chayiv on 19, and therefore he's chayiv on 19. Unlike the way on the guy back from his in-laws, it's done. There's no one else that he's meeting. The in-laws were the only one, and they didn't want it. So then he's not going to buy it, obviously, and therefore he's not like a shayil anymore. Now the Mishnah said that a different case that the Mishnah spoke about, also that it could be like a Shemesachar or like a Shemachinim, similar to like we spoke about the case of a Uman, that generally is like a Shemesachar, but if he said that he'll take it, then he's like a Shemachinim. So the case the Mishnah spoke about was Shamar Leva Esh Malach. So somebody told his friend, he says, look, watch this for me, and I'll watch this for you. So then Shemesachar, so then they have the Halachas each as a Shemesachar, and the reason being is because each one's not watching it just for free. He's watching it because the other guy's doing a favor for him and he's watching his item for him. Therefore, if let's say it gets stolen, they're going to be chayiv, because as a Shemesachar, you're chayiv on Geneva and Aveda. On this halacha, the Gemara asks, Vamai. But why is that the case? Shemira bebailam hi. This is a situation of being watched with the owner. What that means to say is that the owner of this object that gets stolen from the Shemer was at the same time doing work for the Shemer himself, because he was watching his item somewhere else. Now the pasuk tells us in Ba'al of Imai, if the owner of the object that you were watching his thing for, he was working for you at that time, lo yisham, you don't pay him for your liabilities, let's say, of a shayil in Einzin or a shemesachar in Geneva and Aveda. Because the Gemara later on darshins, when it says Ba'al of Imai, means Imai b'malachta, he was working for you at the same time that you were watching that thing for him. Now Rashi points out, although that pasuk is actually talking about a shayil, later on, the Gemara darshins on Tzadihim et Alf and Perkashal, that it goes on all the Shemer. So the question is, why is there liability in Geneva? In this case, both guys are watching. So when this guy is watching this for the other person, and then let's say he's a Shemer Sachar because he's gaining because the other person's watching something from him too. So he's not watching for nothing. So fine, he's like a Shemer Sachar. But when it gets stolen from him, he should be exempt because the owner of the object is doing work for him by watching his thing for him. And the halacha is, in Balavima, lo yisham, you don't pay for your regular liabilities. So my papa, he says, the Amarli, the case of Amishah Toma, where he tells him, Shamali hayoyim, you watch for me today, ve'esh malach lamachar, and I'll watch for you tomorrow. So that comes out that actually each one, when they're watching, don't have the owner doing work for him at that same time, because each are watching on different days. You're right, if it was on the same time, then you're right, then they would both be exempt, because it would be Baal of Imai. The case of our Mishnah is talking about where they're watching at different times, so they're still gaining, because the other one's doing something in a favor for return, to make him like a Shemar Sachar, but it's not Baal of Imai, because they're doing it at different times. Now, the Gemara brings similarly, Tan Rabbanu Lintna Braisa. The Braisa says, this case, Shamar Leiv Esh Malach, one guy says, hey, you watch for me, and I'll watch for you, or a similar case, Hashileni v'ashelcha, you lend to me and I'll lend to you, which Rashi points out, which is integral, is that this is not a case of a shayil, although they're both lending to each other, that each one would be chayiv and einzin. And the reason being is the reason why a shayil is chayiv in the highest level, even if something that's beyond his control, that an animal just dies, is because he gets all the benefit. The guy who's lending to him is doing total favor, getting nothing in return, not paying me anything, you're just using my stuff. Here it's not like that, because here, the other one's lending something to him in return. So it's not kala nashalai, he's getting a loan back for lending it to the other guy. So he's not going to have the halacha of a shayil in this case. So to another case, shamar li v'ashilcha, he says to me, here, you watch this for me, and then I'll lend this thing to you. Or hashileini, lend this thing to me, v'ash malach, and then I'll watch this thing for you. Says the Braisa, kula nasu shemri sachar zelizah. So in this case, they're all essentially shemri sachar one for the other, because essentially, whatever they're watching for the other person is not for free, because the other one's doing a favor back in return. And as we said, even though the case of both are being shayals, it's still not even a shayal, it's a shemesachar, because it's not kalana. Each one is doing something back for the other one, so they're like paid watchmen. Sneva del b'chayiv in the category of gneiva and aveda. On that, the Gemara asks, similar to the question that was asked on our Mishnah, but va'amai. Now, the Gemara's question specifically is on the case of when he says, shamar li ve'esh malach, you watch for me, and I'll watch for you. Not the Gemara asks, but Shmir Babaylim, that is a case of where each one is doing work for the other one. And if that is the case, then when you're watching something and the owner is working for you, you're exempt on Geneva and Aveda. Now Rashi points out, because in contrast to the other three cases of the Braisa, when he says, lend to me and I'll lend to you, or let's say, watch for me and then I'll lend to you, or lend to me and I'll watch for you, here you don't have the owner of the object working for the Shemer, because there it's going to be not pure shmira, working one for the other, because in the loan, then there's the gain. It's not considered like working for the other person. But at least in the case of what we said, or the same question in our Mishnah, Sharma Liva Esh Malach, it should be a case of Shmir Bevailim. And then so too, Amar Papa, like we said in our Mishnah, the Amar lay that it's because he had told him, Sharma Li Hayayim Be'esh Malach Lamachar. You watch for me today and I'll watch for you tomorrow. So since that it was different times, that you never had at the time of the Shmira, that it was Ba'al Avimai, the guy was working for you at a different time. That's only at the time of the Shmira, and therefore they're going to be Chayiv in Geneva and Aveda like Shem Esachas. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha. Hanu ahaluye. Regarding these people who sell ahel, which is either a type of herb that they use as a detergent ingredient to wash garments, or something that's ahalis, which is a type of fragrance. Either way, these were certain merchants. The chalyema have a ofer la chad minayu. So they were together, they worked together. And each day a different one of them would bake bread for the rest of them to eat. Now, Hahu Yaima, there was a certain day that Amr Leila Chad Minai, they said to one of the guys, Zil Afalan, you go bake for us today. So Amlahu, he said to them, fine, but naturally Glimai, I'm going, it's going to be hot day where I'm baking. Here, watch for me my cloak, I'm leaving it here, watch my jacket. Now, the Asa, by the time he came back, Pashuba V'ignib, they were negligent, they didn't watch, and his jacket, his cloak got stolen. Now, the assumption right now is that this guy who was baking that day, it was his day to bake. They used to switch off days, it was his day to bake. So therefore, those guys who he watched to watch his garment for him were watching for free. He wasn't doing any favor for them because it was his designated day to go bake. So that's why the case had to say that Pashu Bab Ignam, that they were negligent and they got stolen, because if they weren't negligent and they just got stolen, they would be exempt because their Shem Rechinam is not Shem Resachas. So they were negligent and they got stolen. So Asla Kamid Rav Papa, so they came in front of Rav Papa, and Chayvinu, he held those other people liable for the negligence of the loss of this guy's jacket, and they have to compensate him. Amr le Rabban Rav Papa, and that the Rabban asked Rav Papa, Amai, why are you saying that they're liable? Peshia bebailim hi. That's a negligence of a shomer, but the guy that they're watching for is doing work for them, because he was baking for them bread. So he was working for them. And although that they were liable in their regular shmira, but you're not chayiv if the guy you're watching for is doing work for you at that time. Says the Gemara Ichsef. So he was embarrassed. It turns out that it was correct, although that his original assumption, Papa was correct, that they should be liable because even if they're Shem Echinam, but they're Chayiv on Pshia, but this is a case of Pshia B'Vailim, where at the time that they're watching for him, his cloak, he's working for them, and therefore they should be exempt. Now, ultimately, L'Soyif Igloi Mils, at the end it was revealed that he had not made an erroneous Psak, because it was revealed that who shaited actually that in that moment, Shichar HaVakashasi, he was actually drinking beer. This guy didn't do what he was supposed to do right away. He left the guys and said, yeah, I'm going to go bake. He didn't. He went to drink. So therefore, turns out that at the moment they became shomrim, he didn't go ahead and accept upon himself working for them for his shomrim. Meaning, as Rashi points out, if let's say he would have gone immediately when he said, okay, watch my cloak for me, and then they would have been his shomrim, he would have gone to work for them and started baking bread. And even if after he baked the bread then, he would have stopped and he would have started drinking beer then. And even if at the moment that the talis would have been lost, he would not be working for them, he would be drinking, that would still be considered a case of Pshia Bebailim, that they would be exempt, because since at the moment of when they became Shemrim, he was working for them, because he went straight away to bake bread when they started watching for him. So that's what the Gemara tells us later on, that Tzadihi Amid Beis, that if the owner was working for the Shayel, for the borrower, for the Shemir, at the time that the guy started doing the Shemira, then he doesn't have to be working for him at the time that actually the accident happens. They're still going to be exempt based on the halacha of Ba'al of Imai. But one thing the Gemara is saying is that here, when they accepted the Shemira, he wasn't working for them because he didn't go to bake bread. If he had gone straight to bake bread, yes, then it would have been exempt and it would have been the erroneous Pesach. But he went to drink beer, and therefore wasn't Ba'al of Imai, and therefore actually they are going to be liable, like he had Paskin, for the negligence that they had during the Shemira. Fine, but the Gemara has a different question. Hanich leman da'amah, this all works according to the one who says later on over there in Perek HaShayel, that Peshia Bebailam Pater, that every Shemer, including even the Shem Echinam, is exempt from his normal liabilities, which what is the Shem Echinam usually liable for? Is only a negligence. He's not chayving a nevaveda, only negligence. And that is the halacha if Ba'al of Imai, if the owner of the object that he's watching for free for is also working for him at that time, that he's going to be even exempt on his negligence. So now we understand the story why your papa was embarrassed. Because even though this was a case of Shem Echinam and they were Peshea, But since he was baking for them at that moment, at least we thought originally, until it was turned out that actually he wasn't baking, and therefore he was right. But originally he was embarrassed because he was like, you're right, it was a wrong psak, that it's Pshia Bebailim. But Elman the Omer, but according to the opinion that holds that Pshia Bebailim is Chayiv, is actually liable, because the exemption that we said with the owners is this halach of Ba'ol Avimai, is only by a Shayil or by a Shemesacher. Because their liability is not for negligence. Their liability is even for oinus by a shayil, or even if it gets stolen or lost by a shemer sacher, but by a shemer chinam, who his liability is only when he's negligent. There are actually, that opinion holds that there is no exemption of ba'al of imai, because since he was negligent, he's going to be chayiv. So on that, the Gemara asks, then am I ichsev? Why was Rav Papa embarrassed, even if it turns out it was ba'al of imai? But who cares? According to that opinion, you don't say ba'al of imai when it's a shemer chinam who is negligent. So that was the case. It was a Shemachin who was negligent, and therefore they should be chayiv, even Baal of Imai. Taylor rather says the Gemara, Hahu yoyim alav di dehav. Actually, the story was different than we had originally assumed. That day of baking the bread, that every day they would switch it with someone else, wasn't his designated day. V'omr leili the day, but they had told that guy, look, zil apilonat, you go bake for us. Do us a favor. V'omr lehu, and he said to them, okay, bahu agra du kafin lehu, for that benefit, that gain that I'm going to bake for you, meaning like you're almost renting me, I'm doing you a favor. For that transaction, the tur glimoi, go ahead and watch my cloak. So essentially, they were a shemer sacher. They were getting something for watching his jacket that, okay, we'll watch the jacket for you and then you'll bake for us. So that's a shemer sacher. They're getting a gain out of that. And that's where the story continues on Talmud Beis. Ad the asa igne. By the time he came back, it was stolen without their negligence. He said they're going to be liable because since they're a shemer sacher, he wasn't doing it for something. They weren't doing it for free. They were doing it because he was baking for them when he didn't have to. So therefore, they're going to be chayiv as a shemer sacher on geneva. That was the question. But this is a case of when the shemer is watching something when the owner is working for him, and here he is. He's baking bread for them. And they are a shemer sacher who then should be patron geneva aveda. And therefore, Ichsef, he was embarrassed. He's like, you're right, it's Baal Avimai, where everyone agrees, at least by a shemer sacher with Baal Avimai, he's exempt on geneva. But then ultimately it was revealed that he shait the shechar havashas. It actually, at the time that he told him to watch his jacket, he didn't go working for them. And therefore, the Kabbalah Sashmir that they had does not have the exemption of Baal Avimai because he was drinking beer instead of baking bread for them. And that's why it was correct, his psak, subsequently, that he was mechayiv them because of this halacha of Geneva and Aveda. Nothing more brings a similar type of a story. Hanu Beitrei, there were these, again, this is all talking about this halacha that we introduced of Ba'al of Imai, which there was an erroneous, seemingly erroneous psak based on that because it should be Ba'al of Imai, and then it was revealed that actually there was no such exemption. So Hanu Beitrei, there were these two people, Davu Kamaske Ba'archa, they were traveling on the road. Chad Aruch v'chad Gutza, one was tall, one was short. Aricha Rachav Chamra, the tall guy was riding on a donkey. Moreover, Havalei Sedina, he had a linen garment, which even when it gets absorbed with water, it doesn't weigh it down, doesn't get drenched, doesn't become too heavy. Gutza Michsi Sarbala, the short guy, he was wearing a coat made out of wool, which a lot of water gets absorbed into it and it weighs it down. Therefore, as we'll see in the incident where he took off the heavy wool coat, which again, when it gets wet, it gets drenched and it weighs too much, and he covered himself with the linen garment that was the other guy's. Now, Vokomaski Bekari, moreover, this short guy who was wearing the wool coat was walking by foot. Now, Kimatil Nahar, when they reached a river, so they had to walk through the river, the tall guy, he's on a donkey, so he's not going to get wet, versus this guy's walking, he's going to get wet in the river. So, Shakli Lisarbele, so this short guy, who especially since he's short, he's going to walk right through the water, he took off his wool coat, and he put it onto the donkey. So on the donkey, it's not going to get wet. It's going to be up on top of the donkey. Moreover, he took the linen garment of the tall guy, and he covered himself with that because even if it gets wet, it doesn't get drenched. It doesn't absorb too much water to become too heavy. Now, but as he was walking through the river came and washed away that linen garment. The waves took it away. So as coming to Rava, it came in front of Rava. What's the halacha? And Chayve, he held him liable for this loss of the garment. Amalei Rabban L'Rabba, so the rabbi said to Rava, Amai, why? She'eile b'baylim he. Here he is, he borrowed that guy's linen garment. So although a shayel is chayv nimin on einzin, no matter even if it's something beyond his control, but here, at the time that he borrowed it, the lender was working for the borrower. How so? He was carrying his coat, his wool coat, on his donkey. And that's how he transported it over the river. So therefore, although he's a shayel with ba'al avima, he should be exempt on this liability of the loss of the coat. Why are you making him liable on the sadin, on the linen garment that he took from the tall guy? So the Gemara says, if he was embarrassed, you're right. Although seemingly a shayel should be chayven einsim, but by ba'al avima, he's exempt. Now, l'saiv v'gloi milsa, again, as in the previous incident, ultimately was revealed, the b'loi daite shakli. Actually, this short guy, he took that guy's linen garment without his awareness. He didn't ask, he didn't notify him. U'b'loi daite eisim, without him knowing, he put his coat on it. So there was no halach over here of a shayel with his awareness. Neither was it that the guy was working for him, because he didn't realize that the guy stuck his coat on his donkey as he's walking across the river. Hence, there was no working for him, there's no ba'al avimai, and that's why he was chayiv on the einus of the water washing away the other guy's garment. Another incident. Ahu Gavra, there was a certain person, the Oigile Chamer L'Chabri, that rented a donkey to his friend. So Amalei said to him, Chazi, I want you to see, L'Tezel Bo'urchid Nahar Pakaid. Don't go on the road of the river of Nahar Pakaid, Dekamaya, because there's water over there. Now, Zil Bo'urchid Narish Delekamaya. I want you to go on the road of Narish where there's no water over there. I'm renting you this thing. I'm making the conditions. I don't want you to go over there because it's going to get damaged over there where the water is. Go where there's no water. Now, Azil Bo'urchid Nahar Pakaid. Actually, he went in Nahar Pakaid and Umischamra and the donkey died. Now, Ki Asa Amma, when he came, this renter said, I want you to know. In, yes. Bo'urchid Nahar Pakaid Azde. I went in the road that you told me you don't want me to go. But Umi Olekamaya. The whole reason why you don't want me to go is because you said there's water over there and it's going to die from the water. There was no water, so I should be exempt. So Amalei Rava, Rava said, Malei Lishakar, which is a term that's used in what's called a migui. Why should this guy, the renter, have lied? Iboy Amalei, if he wanted, he could tell the guy who rented it to him, Ano Baruchah Dinara Shazli. He could have just as easily said, I went in this other path that you wanted me to go. And since he could have said that, and he didn't, he said the truth, we should believe him that there was no water. And since there was no water, he shouldn't be liable. Now, Amalei Abaye, but Abaye said to Rava, Mali l'shaker b'mokam eidim, the claim of what should I lie for in when it's contradicted by witnesses. Now, although there's no actual witnesses, but there's something called anan zahadi. We, the world, we testify that that road is never without water. So lo yamrinim, we don't say a claim, migui is a kayach atayin, that gives you a certain neman, a certain belief that what you're saying is true. Why? Because, look, I know you told me not to go there because of the water, but I'm telling you there was no water. If there's no water, you would not be upset, and I would not be liable. I'm telling you there was no water. And you should believe me, because how would you know? I could have told you I went the other way, and then I would have been exempt, and you would have believed me. So therefore, believe me when I'm saying that there was no water. And that says, Abaye, no, we don't believe you. Because you're contradicted by the witnesses of the world. The witnesses of the world say that there's always water there, and if you're not believing, therefore, he's going to be chayv. Now, the Gemara quotes from our mission that says, when one person says to the other person, Shamarli, watch my thing for me. V'amaloi hanach lefanai. And the guy says, okay, put it down in front of me. Says the Mishnah, in contrast with the previous case of the Mishnah, which was when he says, watch for me, and he says, okay, and I'll watch for you. So they're both shem esachar, because they're each watching because the other one's doing them a favor in return, which is a gain, which is shem esachar. Here, where he just says, it doesn't say, okay, that you'll watch for me too. He says, okay, put it down in front of me. Then there's shem echinim, he's watching for free, for no pay, and therefore he'll be exempt in Geneva and Aveda. Now, however, Amar Rav Huna, he says, let's say Amar lehanach lefanecha. Let's say he says, okay, put it down in front of you. Einu lo yishem echinim, lo yishem esachar. Then he's not an unpaid guardian, he's not a paid guardian, he's nothing. In other words, since he said, put it down in front of you, he was essentially telling him, look, you sit and you watch it. You know, you tell me watch your thing for you? He says, put it down in front of you. If he says, put it down in front of me, okay, I'll be your shem echino. Put it down in front of you, he's not watching it at all. Now, Ibailo, the following question. Hanach stam amai. Let's say it doesn't say, put it down in front of me or put it down in front of you. It just says, put it down. What's the halacha over there? So the Mishnah says, Tashema, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, as we quoted before, if the guy says, Shamali, watch this for me. Vamali, another guy says, Hanach lefanai, put it down in front of me. So he said that he has the halacha of a shem echinim, as an unpaid guardian. Now, hastama, but let's say it doesn't say in front of me. In front of me always sounds like, okay, you know, I'll take responsibility. In front of me. But let's say it just says, put it down. sound like v'loy klum, that then he's not accepting any responsibility. He's not like anything, not even the shem echinam. Now, the Gemara says, but adrab, to the contrary, mid the Amrav Huna, from the fact Rav Huna qualified and he said, that hanach lefanechahu, by the case when he says, put it down in front of you, that's where the Einu Loi Shem Echinam Loi Shem Esachar, that's when he's nothing. That's when he's not even a Shem Echinam, because he says, put it in front of me, put it in front of you. Hastam Shem Echinam, the inference would sound like then, but if he just says, put it down, where he's not saying in front of you as if you should take responsibility, then it would sound like that he is a Shem Echinam, not like the inference of the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Ela rather Mahol Lekal Mashmino. So obviously we cannot infer, because the inferences are contradictory. Our Mishnah sounds like the inference one way, and Rav Huna's halacha, which he qualifies the Mishnah's halacha, the inference sounds like the other way. So obviously we can't resolve it from there. But the Gemara continues and says, Lema, let us say that this question we have regarding Stam, if he just says put it down, is actually Kitanoi, is actually Machlekes Tanoi. This is in reference to a Mishnah in Perek Shosh Nogei Chasapar and Baba Kamad of Menzayin Med Aleph, regarding a potter that puts his pots down or in someone else's field, and the ox of the homeowner damages that guy's pots. Or he brings his ox into someone else's field, and the homeowner's ox gores his ox. Or he brings his produce in, and the homeowner's animal eats up his fruits. So says the Mishnah over there as follows. Im hechnes pirshus, if he brought his stuff into that guy's field with permission, then the owner of the courtyard is going to be liable for his damages. Why? Because when he told the guy, when he asked for permission to come in, he said, Ul, come in. What was he saying, come in? He was saying, come in and I will watch your stuff. Now, seemingly, this is what the Gemara wants to prove, that these Rabbanim would also hold the same thing. Let's say in the street, where one guy says, hey, can you wash this for me? And he says, put it down. It's the same like, come in, meaning put it down and I'll watch it, just like come in means come in and I'll watch it. Whereas Rebbe, I mean, he says, no, b'kulam in echayiv, regarding all these situations, the potter or the owner of the animal, the owner of the fruits, that he brings his stuff into someone else's field, b'kulam in echayiv, the homeowner is not going to be liable for them, achi kabbal alav balabais lishma, until explicitly the owner of the field accepts responsibility to watch that guy's stuff. That is because it's only when he says, come in, and I will watch it for you. But if not like that, then if he just says, come in, then actually he's not accepting responsibility. So the same thing would sound like when he says in the street, he says, watch my stuff, and he says, put it down. He says, put it down, but I'm not accepting responsibility. So similarly, this is machlokes tanoim regarding putting it down, the same as coming into the field. When you say that, does that mean you're accepting responsibility or not? It's machlokes tanoim. So says the Gemara, mimai. From where do you see that this is the same machlokes, to say that there would be that machlokes tanoim on the case of just put it down, when the guy asks, can you watch it for me? Dilma ad kan lekamer rabban hasa, maybe over there in the machlokes in Baba Kama, where the rabbanan say that in general, when he says come in, he's saying come in, he accepts responsibility. That's ele b'chatsa. That's only in regards to someone's private courtyard. The bas neturihi, where that's a safe and protected place. In other words, why is this guy asking permission to bring his stuff into that guy's field? Only because he wants it to be protected, where it's not difficult for the owner to watch it because he doesn't have to watch it. He has a fence, he has his security system, it's automatically protected. Now, v'chikamar le'ayel, so therefore maybe the other Rabbanan said when he told him, come in, ayel de'interloch kamale, he was saying, come in, that I watch it for you because it's not a big deal for me. You can't leave your stuff in the street, it might get stolen, it might get lost. Here, bring it in, you know, leave it, everyone's good, you know, shalom al-Yisrael. So there it's where they said, when come in means I'm taking responsibility. Aval hacha shuka, but here we're talking about in the marketplace. Laba naturihu, that's not a protected place. Anach v'tiv notarloch kamale. So what is he telling him when he says put it down? He's saying, here, put it down, you sit and you watch it. So there's no proof because in the home, by his courtyard, when he says bring it in means I'll watch it because it's not a big deal for me. In the courtyard, in the street, when he says put it down, he says put it down, you watch it. I don't want to have to watch it. So there's no proof regarding what they hold regarding the courtyard, regarding the street. Inami, or if the Gemara says, you could say the reverse too. Ad kan lekamer Rebbe Hasam, maybe only over there did Rebbe say that the homeowner, the landowner, is going to be exempt when he says come in. It doesn't mean I'm taking responsibility. That's because ele b'chatzere. That's only by his courtyard, because you could interpret when he says come in, dili'u'ule reshusa kaboy l'mishkamone. What is the guy asking when he wants, and the guy answers, he says come in. He's asking for permission to come in. You can't come into someone's private property. And therefore, v'chiyoiv le'reshusa, when he's giving him permission, le'yule is to come in, but you come in and you watch your own stuff. I'm not watching your stuff, but I let you come in. You can interpret iule means coming in. Aval Hacha, but over here in the case of the street where two guys are, and one guy says, hey, can you watch this stuff for me? And he says, put it down. Hanoch v'ano matrana kamale. I could definitely say for Rebbe that he would say, if he says put it down, it means then I'll watch it. Because the iso gadei dechanoch v'tiv v'notar kamale, because if you're entertained to say that when the guy's telling him here, put it down and you watch it, that ilo aiswa, but if that's what he's telling him to put it down, reshusa boi lemishkamane, you think he needs permission from him to put it down? It's not your house, not your courtyard, it's the street. What? When you tell me put it down, you mean I could put it down? Hello? What, I can't put it down? Obviously, when you're saying put it down, it means I should put it down and you'll watch it, because what else would it mean? And therefore, it says the Gemara, it's not a proof, and therefore the Gemara didn't resolve the question, and neither is it necessarily machlekes tanaim, because we could say in either opinion that that case about coming into the courtyard and accepting responsibility by just saying the word eule is not necessarily the same thing as in the street when one guy asks, watch my stuff for me, the same as when he says put it down, it could go either way. Now, the Mishnah said in the next case, which was a machlekes, Tanakama said, Hilvo alamashkin, if someone lends someone money on collateral, so as we're discussing in our Mishnah regarding what's the halachic status of a umin or different situations regarding someone that's watching, is he considered as a shemachinim, as a shemesacher? So regarding such a case, the Mishnah says, if regarding the collateral, the lender is like a shemesacher. He's considered a paid guardian. So says the Gemara, Lema masnitin de leker b'liyazer. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because the time you learn the Braisa as follows. The Braisa says, same case. Hamaves chaver alamashkin. If someone lends his friend money on collateral, so he's holding someone else's thing, he's watching it. So the halacha is va'aver hamashkin. If the collateral gets lost, says the first opinion, yishava, he swears. What is he swearing? He swears that he wasn't negligent. Now the reason for that is because this opinion holds that he's considered a shemachinam. He's watching for free without getting any benefit out of it. Why is that? Because this opinion holds that a person doesn't take a person's security, a collateral, for collection purposes. That's not why he takes it. He takes it just as an assurance on his money that the guy can't deny there was ever a loan. What am I doing holding your stick? What am I doing holding your phone? What do I have it for? Now, but that's not why he's holding it. It's just as a reminder. He's not holding it as, okay, you don't pay, I'm going to collect from this. And therefore, when he's watching it, he's not getting any benefit out of it. He can't use it towards collection. So they're essentially just watching it for free. That is, if it gets lost, he'll collect from somewhere else. So therefore, says the first opinion, he swears that he wasn't negligent. So although it got lost, this person, this lender, is a shemechinim who is exempt from when it gets lost. He just has to make sure and swear to that effect that he wasn't negligent. And the meitel ma'isav, then he takes the money that's owed to him on the loan. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. That's the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Now, Rebbe Kiva, he disagrees. He says, no, yachol loymerle, the borrower could tell the lender, klum hil visani el alamashkin, didn't you lend the money to me only because of the collateral that you had? If I wouldn't have given you that, you wouldn't have given me the loan. So avad amashkin, avad ma'isacha. So if the collateral is lost, then you lose your money of the loan. That's one case. Says the Braisa continued, Aval hilvo elav zuz b'shtar. But if let's say he lent him 1,000 zuz in a document, it was written in a document, and also v'nich l'mashkin aleim, and more than just a document, the borrower also gave collateral to the lender. That says the Braisa, divrei hakol, everyone would agree with it, that over the mashkin, over mo'esam. That there, if the collateral is lost by the lender, then he loses the money of his loan. The reason for that is because, in that case, the collateral, the security is definitely for collection purposes. Why? Because generally, when there's a document written, there's what's called shibud karkois. The borrower's land is automatically has a lien on it and is indebted to the lender. So therefore, the lender's confident and he has a way to collect from, because he could always go to that guy's field. Moreover, the guy cannot deny there was a loan because there's a document proving it. So then why is there collateral? Not to say, to remind the guy, because the document will remind him. Obviously, it was being taken for the purposes of collection, and therefore, again, that makes him then into shemesacher, which then, again, if it gets lost, then he would lose it because he's liable for a loss as a shemesacher. So that's the braisa. But one thing the Gemara wants to illustrate from this is obviously our mission is not like Rebbe Eliezer, because Rebbe Eliezer is that first opinion of braisa that says that the lender on the collateral for the loan that he gave is considered a shemechinim, and therefore he just has to swear that it was not pesheya, and then he's going to be exempt and he'll be able to collect his money, whereas our Mishnah said clearly that the one who has the lender who has the collateral and it gets lost is going to be chayav like a shemesacher. So the Gemara in the next daf will explore this if our Mishnah could still be like Rebbe Eliezer.